I don't care what pandemic we're living in the middle of. I don't care what oppressive government is trying to stamp out the kingdom of heaven. Even if the laborers start to become lazy, it's not going to stop the kingdom of heaven. Nothing will ever stop it. Jesus says, even the gates of hell will not keep it from going forward.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, let me ask you to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13. And as you're turning there and preparing, let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy a good story? You know, I do. I think most people enjoy hearing a good story. I'm not talking about reading at this particular point. I'm talking about hearing someone telling you a story. And the first question that you may ask is, what makes a good story? And we think of what is being said. We think of the storyline, the character, the descriptive words, the unexpected twist. Of course, all of that does indeed make a good story. However, if you're listening to a story, what I think makes the story a good story is the storyteller. Two people can tell the same story, and one will be engaging, and one you kind of won't pay attention to. I knew a gentleman when I lived in Maine. His name was Don, and he was a great storyteller. I mean, he just had the incredible ability to tell stories. And one day we were at a local festival there in our town in Machias, and Don was telling a story, and I was walking by from kind of exhibit to exhibit, and I saw him telling the story, and I looked around, and there was probably 15 to 20 kids of various ages just sitting still, all eyes focused on Don, listening to his story. And so I kind of stood back and I started watching the kids. And after about a minute, minute and a half, I found that my attention had turned and I was now paying attention to Don. And as I was standing there listening to the story, some other adults came up. And before you know it, there's a crowd of about 30 people listening to Don tell this story. And later on, I thought, what was it that made that so captivating to just sit there and watch? And as I thought about it, I kind of came to the conclusion, I don't really know that I could articulate it. It was just the whole package. The way he spoke, his cadence, the words that he used, his facial expressions, the eye contact he made, everything that he did drew everybody into that story. And this morning, as you're in Matthew 13, we're going to look at the greatest storyteller of all time, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as He came and He ministered and He preached on this earth, a lot of the times the way He would preach would be through parables, through telling stories. And when He did, the crowd would stop. And they would listen and pay attention to what he was saying. And when we think of stories today, we usually think of them as a way to be entertained. And while the stories that Jesus told, yes, they were entertaining, he told the stories to teach a spiritual truth. That's why they're called parables and not just stories. It's not the stories of Jesus, it's the parables of Jesus. He was telling them to teach a spiritual truth. The more difficult question this morning is, why did he teach using parables? Because before we examine it, we need to answer that question. There's a very specific reason. If you're in Matthew 13, look down in verses 10 through 13. Because the disciples asked this very question. The disciples come to him and say, why do you speak to them in parables? The disciples didn't even understand. Jesus, why do you talk in parables? And Jesus answered them, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. Jesus spoke in parables, and as he spoke, what would happen in the hearers' hearts? The hearers would either hear the story, understand, and repent. Others would hear the story, hear the parable of Jesus, not understand, and at the same time, refuse to repent. That was the point of the parables. Some will hear the parable and believe, some will hear and not believe. I can put this in context for you personally. Have you ever wondered why what seems so obvious to you about who Christ is and what Christ has taught is not to other people? It's not that you understand God better than them or that you're smarter than they are. It's none of that. What it is by God's mercy you hear and you understand. So what about the others? Is God being mean to them and concealing truth from them so that they will never repent? Is God saying, all right, I love you more. I don't love this person more. I want you to understand. I don't want you to understand. Well, the answer to that is no. Think about this in the context of who Jesus was speaking to. The people at this time would have heard his preaching, would have seen him go to scriptures and say, today I fulfilled that scripture. Here's what I'm doing to fulfill it. They would see him perform miracle. They would see him go to the lame and make them walk. They would see him touch the leper and make him clean. They would see miracle upon miracle here, teaching upon teaching, yet with those obvious markers before them, they still refused to believe. The sun is shining today. It's a wonderful day outside. And if you were to take a piece of clay and put it out in the sun, and you took a block of wax and put it out in the sun, two very different things would happen. That same sun would melt the wax while hardening the clay. But they're feeling and experiencing the same thing. The same happens with Jesus' parables. Some people are like the wax where their hearts are moved and touched and melted and come to Christ and say, yes, I hear, I understand, I believe, I repent. While the other people hear the same words and go, I hear, but I don't care, I'm not going to repent, and I will continue to refuse, and their hearts become hardened. And so Jesus spoke and taught them in parables to draw out where that person was placing their faith. So let's look then this morning at the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven that's in verses 31 down to verse 33. It says, he, meaning Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. So these two parables this morning are teaching us a spiritual truth. That's what we said, that Jesus teaches in parables to teach a spiritual truth. Now this one becomes pretty easy, because we read the parables and we understand that he is teaching us about the kingdom of God, right? It says in both of them, the kingdom of heaven is light. The kingdom of heaven is light. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Right? We need to answer that question. We answered why parables. Let's answer why the kingdom of heaven before looking at the kingdom of heaven. The key word here is kingdom. When you have a kingdom, you have a king. When you have a king, you have authority. When you have authority, you have rule. The kingdom of heaven, then, is the redemptive rule of God through Jesus Christ. That's what he is talking about. And Matthew uses this designation throughout his gospel to show how God, based on his authority and how on his rule, is redeeming sinners through Jesus Christ. Redeeming sinners through Christ, who is the Messiah promised by God himself. And since that is true, as Jesus is going through and teaching and calling people to repentance, what we know then is that the kingdom of heaven is a present reality. It is here now. If you are a believer in Christ, you are experiencing the kingdom of heaven. But not only is it here now, it is marching forward. The kingdom of heaven is a future reality when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom forever and ever. Remember what we read in Psalm 93, that the Lord sits in holiness in his house, O Lord, forevermore. There's going to come a day when that kingdom of heaven is established for all times. And so the parables this morning that we're looking at guides us to understand the redemptive reign of Jesus Christ is happening now while we wait for the final consummation of the kingdom. So what do we know from these parables about the kingdom today? See, these parables this morning, I wanted to jump to these because they give us great hope. Right? We all need a little bit of hope this morning. The gospel is based on hope. We look around the world and again, all the chaos and crazy. We want some hope. These parables give us hope because as he's teaching us about the kingdom of heaven, he teaches us three truths. And the first one is this. The kingdom of heaven is pervasive. Excuse me, the first one is this. The kingdom of heaven is expansive, not pervasive. Expansive first. The first parable, Jesus takes agricultural terms that people of the day would have understood. Right? We understand agricultural terms today. We understand that if we hear somebody say, I went out and took some tomato seeds and planted them, that we would understand that they put the seeds in the ground, they covered it with soil, they're going to tend it, and soon from that seed a tomato bush will sprout. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Farmer goes out and sows it and would have planted it, placed it in the ground and waited and tended it until it starts to grow. And he says the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. This is a very tiny seed. It's about 1 millimeter in diameter. If it was on the ground, you wouldn't see it probably. But when you plant it and it starts to grow, it develops and a large bush, maybe as tall as 12 feet tall, from one little seed, to the point that it gets big enough that birds can actually come and make nests in its branches. And we understand that. His hearers at the time would understand that. So what is he trying then to teach us about the kingdom of heaven? Well, he's teaching us that it's expansive. At the beginning doesn't look like much. A mustard seed at the beginning doesn't look like much. What are you going to do with a mustard seed? The seed 1 millimeter in diameter, so small you're not even going to really see it. That's not much good. But you plant it and you watch it grow and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger that it takes over and becomes this huge 12-foot tree and now it's expanded and it's expansive and it's huge. Same is true for the kingdom of heaven. The beginning doesn't look like much, but it's going to expand and expand and expand until it takes over all of the world. And that there won't be a place that you can go where the kingdom of heaven is not present. And Jesus is teaching them this. For they had a faulty understanding of the kingdom of heaven at this time. They thought it would be announced in an unmistakable fashion. That the Messiah would come riding in on his horse and armies and legions behind him and he would overthrow the Roman oppression and reestablish the glory of the nation of Israel and everyone will see it. And Jesus said, no, that's not how it starts. It starts as a small seed, but it's going to grow and grow and grow until it reaches the ends of the earth. The gospel story in Matthew starts with a baby in a manger. And it's going to grow from there. But when you look at that baby, you're looking at it and goes, what's this baby going to grow into? Even personally, when you look at, I look at my kids as babies or yours as babies, and you just wonder, they seem so small, but yet they're going to grow and impact their area and impact their families and their jobs. But when they first come into the world, they just so little, so helpless. Matthew says the kingdom of heaven started in a manger, and it looked insignificant, but it wasn't. Jesus grows and he starts his public ministry, right? Even in the beginning, it didn't look like much. Jesus shows up on the scene and he goes and he calls 12 disciples. Not the religious smart or the religious elite of the day, but he calls 12 ragtag group of men to come and follow him. Again, the kingdom's not looking really great, Jesus. As he starts to preach, the numbers start to grow. We read where he sends out 70 disciples. Then we continue to read, and we read in Acts that as the message is preached, that we read that 5,000 were baptized. Continue to read through the book of Acts, and you see that the disciples go out and they end up turning the known world upside down with the gospel of Christ, to the point that here we are some 2,000 years later and the kingdom is seen all around the world and it continues to grow. But it didn't start out looking that way. But now it is expansive and it has grown and touched all countries, all nations. And it will continue to grow until, as we see in Revelation 11:15, it says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever and ever. It has expanded and will continue to expand until the only thing that there is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus says here. The kingdom of heaven is expansive. How's it expanding in your heart? How's it expanding in your family? How is it growing where you are? How's it growing and expanding through Red Bank? See, the kingdom of heaven is going to continue to do that. We need to stop and ask that question. Where is it expanding? Because we are called to share the gospel so that the kingdom will expand. And it will continue to do so. Then Jesus moves to another parable. This time he moves from the field to the kitchen and he teaches us that the kingdom of heaven is pervasive. The kingdom of heaven is pervasive. You know what leaven does? Leaven, and think of yeast. There's other types of leavening agents other than yeast, but yeast is the one that is used. And yeast makes bread. Yeast is what makes bread bread and not a cracker. Okay, you put the yeast in and it puffs up and it causes the dough to rise into that fluffy, bready goodness that we all know and love, right? One of the remarkable aspects about yeast is the ratio that you use between it and the flour. I was talking a few minutes ago and lamenting the fact that I can't find yeast anymore at the moment. We make all kinds of bread. And I make a pizza dough that calls for 4 cups of flour, but only 1 teaspoon of yeast. But from that 1 teaspoon of yeast, it permeates all the flour and it gets in there and it balloons it up and makes it grow and expand to a much greater volume than you would think. Because it gets all into the cells, the gluten of the flour, and causes it to expand. A dramatic difference with such a little bitty bit of amount. When you look in the parable that Jesus says, he draws attention to the disproportionate measurements, because he says, it's like leaven. She just took a little bit, and she hid in it 3 measures of flour. Now, 3 measures of flour, if we were doing a modern equivalent, would be about 35 pounds. And so that little bit of leaven ended up leavening the entire lump of flour. You can't put leaven in flour and it not affect every part of it. It's pervasive. It's everywhere. So how does this relate to the to the kingdom of heaven? Well, I think we need to go back and take a step back and understand the context that most of the people would have heard Jesus tell this parable. Because for them, leaven was a negative item to have in your house, especially at the time of Passover. Before Passover, all the leaven had to be removed. And I mean like completely removed. Get it all out of the house. Because the leaven was associated with sin. Because you didn't want that the sin to get into your life like leaven and cause you to create or act out in sin after sin after sin. So you had to get it all out of the house for Passover. So for Jesus to come and say the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, the people listening to this would have been like, that can't be right. We're told to get rid of the leaven. But here's where I think they missed the point. As Jesus tells them the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, all the respectable religious people of the day would have looked down on what Jesus had said and on the group that was following Jesus. You got fishermen. You got a tax collector. You got a zealot. You got people on the fringes of society. Of course they would think your kingdom is like leaven. You got all these dregs following. Here's the point that they missed. Is that Jesus is teaching them what happens to their lives when they experience just a little bit of the kingdom of heaven. It transforms them. It changes them. And it starts from the inside. That's how leaven works. Leaven starts from the inside and works out. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It comes into their heart. And from the inside, it starts to transform them. And they become new people. That's why we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The kingdom of heaven got in there and rooted out all the sin, all the darkness, and transformed them to people who said, you know what? I repent of my sins. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And He transforms them and changes their outlook, changes their desires, so that Peter goes from a fisherman to a fisher of men. Preaches to 5,000 people about the transforming power of Christ. It's pervasive. But watch what happens. The gospel comes into them, the kingdom of heaven comes into them, transforms them, and the more that they are transformed, the more that they share to other people, they tell other people, and the more that other people hear the gospel, they are transformed. And then they start to tell other people, and it starts to transform them, and it changes our thoughts and our actions, our beliefs and our desires, and it gets a hold of a group of people and changes them. And you see then the pervasive nature of the kingdom of heaven just landing in people's hearts and changing people, person after person after person. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven does. And the kingdom of heaven is for the common folk, just as it is for the uncommon. The kingdom of heaven is for everybody because it is pervasive and it will change anyone's heart. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. But it starts off when it takes roots, takes seed in our heart and changes us from the inside out. All right, that's what it did to you one day. When you understood that Jesus was Lord and Savior and you confessed your sins, it transformed you. Then who'd you go tell? And you saw them transform. And then they tell somebody else and that you see them transform. And you just see then in that exponential growth, that exponential pervasiveness of the kingdom where it impacts more and more and more and more people. And the kingdom becomes, as we saw in the first one, more and more and more expansive. Right? Isn't that encouraging to know that the kingdom of heaven today is still expanding and still changing people's hearts? But here's one more thing to encourage us this morning. As we learn this, we learn then thirdly that the kingdom of heaven is unstoppable. Unstoppable. You look at both of these parables and you ask, what do they have in common? And the answer is simple. They both start out as something that are so small and almost inadequate for their purpose. You look at one seed of yeast, or I don't know, is it a seed of yeast, grain of yeast? You look at one mustard seed and you look at the size and you think, man, it's too small to do anything. You look at the kingdom of heaven and think, a baby in a manger is too small to do anything. It may look small in the beginning, but it has the power to cover and transform the earth. And as it does, it cannot and will not be stopped. Many times Christians start to lament the future of Christianity and the church. Right? And sometimes I do this too. Right? We all do this. And when we do that, in that moment, when we're critical of the Christianity and the church, we miss a promise that's very clearly made. Oh, the best times are behind us. No, they're not. And we're reminded this from the lips of Jesus Himself. Turn over a page in your Bible, maybe two, to Matthew 16. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And He's teaching them. And He asks them a question. He says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? In verse 13. And they give Him all these answers. You're John the Baptist. You're a prophet. You're this. You're that. Jesus turns and He looks and says, all right, that's great. The real question is not, who do other people say I am? But who do you say I am? And Peter, this common, uneducated fisherman pipes up with the answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did Peter know that? Because he heard the gospel. And the gospel got in his heart and it transformed him. It changed him. So we see in Peter the pervasive nature of the kingdom at the same time expanding. There's now another person in the kingdom. And Jesus looks down at him and He says, you know what? In verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's the promise that sometimes we forget. All right, Peter comes and makes this profession. He says, you are the Christ. He says, I understand to the extent that Peter could that you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the one who has come. You are the one who has come to redeem me. You are the one who has come to make salvation. I understand that. I confess that you are that. And Jesus says, based on that confession, so today when somebody comes and says, Christ, I confess you as Lord and Savior. I recognize that you lived a perfectly sinless life. You died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again on the third day, and that you are now seated at the right hand of God. When somebody comes and makes that confession, we become part of the kingdom of heaven. We become part of the church. And Jesus says to Peter, says, based on that confession, the church then is going to continue to go forward. I will build my church on that confession. And then He says this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nothing will ever stop the expansion of the kingdom of heaven. I don't care what pandemic we're living in the middle of. I don't care what oppressive government is trying to stamp out the kingdom of heaven. I care, but even if the laborers start to become lazy, it's not going to stop the kingdom of heaven. Nothing will ever stop it. Jesus says, even the gates of hell, which, since Genesis chapter 3, has tried to stop the kingdom of heaven from expanding, even the gates of hell will not keep it from going forward. Will not keep it from growing. Will not keep it from permeating people's hearts. Nothing will keep it from going forward. The gospel message marches on. The kingdom of heaven marches on. It continues to go forward, which is why I keep trying to put it in front of us and you and the church that the Great Commission does not say go as long as things are good. The Great Commission says go. Doesn't say stop, doesn't say pause, doesn't say retreat. It says go. We continue to go. Why? Because the gates of hell will not overcome the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we continue to go forward. And we continue to see the kingdom expand through transformed lives. So this morning as we close, there are two ways for you to respond. The first is this. If you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven is calling you to receive the message of the kingdom. Let go of your sin, your guilt, and your shame. Forget the pursuit of pleasure and wealth and fame and possessions of this world. Find your contentment and hope in the person of Jesus Christ who died for you to set you free from your fruitless pursuit. Who died and rose again to give you life and give it to you abundantly. The parable is calling for you to come and be part of the kingdom. But secondly, if you're a believer this morning and you're in the kingdom, then it's calling us to be recommitted to the urgency of gospel proclamation. To tell those around you about the saving and transforming power of the kingdom of God. To see their lives transformed. To see them changed and to see the kingdom of heaven grow and expand. This morning, you've heard God's word. How do you need to respond? How do you respond to the question, who do you say Christ is?
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.